Blog
well,
Talk
good
Radio.
Evening, good evening. Well, good evening to each and every one. This is Apostle Miller, and we just thank and praise the Lord for you tuning in this evening. And we expecting Apostle Armstrong and Apostle McIntyre to be joining us soon. But as I say, I trust you had a glorious and a victorious week, I tell you. Thank and praise the Lord. The weather is changing, and I don't know about you, but I like the warm climate. But nevertheless, however the Lord blesses, I thank him for it. Because some people like it hot, some like it cold, some like it warm, some like it mellow. So, you know, we just serve our awesome Father, and I tell you, we want to also say thank God to each and every one of you that have been tuning in on the broadcast on Friday. But I want to thank you because I'll be on Mondays from 12 to 1 and on Thursday from 6 to 7. And then on Friday, Apostle Armstrong and Apostle McIntyre and myself, we come on together. So, again, we just want you to know, you that have been tuning in, continue listening at the broadcast, we thank and praise the Lord for you, and we trust that it's been a blessing. And we just expecting the impossible for 2023. But, you know, stay focused. That's something the Lord told me in the beginning of 2023. He told me to stay focused. He told me to focus on my relationship with him, to get deeper in it. And he told me to watch, you know, focus on my health. So there too, again, stay focused, you know, stay focused on the Lord. Stay focused on your relationship with the Lord. Is that you, Apostle Armstrong?
Yeah, I just walked in.
Okay,
so
okay. Okay, good evening. Good evening to you, sir. Apostle
good
McIntyre?
Evening. No, she's not here yet.
Well, she will be tuning in, I'm sure. I just got off the phone with her. But I was just sharing with them. I was just thanking everyone for listening to the broadcast on Friday and thanking them for listening on Mondays and Thursdays. You know, whatever days they listen at, we thank and praise the Lord for all that have tuned in. And we expecting the impossible. You know, even though sometimes when we come on Fridays and we might not address maybe what someone might be dealing with, but we want you to know we believe in God for you. We still believe in God for souls to be saved. We believe in God for souls to be revived. And we believe in God for divine healing for people. Yes, that's something because that's part of the gospel. That's part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He paid for it all. So now since the host is on the line, I'm going to turn it over to Apostle Armstrong.
And we have the Apostle of Love is here.
Hello.
Hello again
to you, Apostle McIntyre.
Yes, ma'am. How's everybody?
We are
great.
Just fantastic.
Supernaturally wonderful myself.
Well, good. That's why we're here. That's why the divine spirit of the universe put us together so that we can let our light shine.
Yes.
Yeah. One thing I was telling Apostle Miller earlier, one of the things was that I was looking at the map, the geography of where our listeners are, and
okay.
A lot of places that we, where they are places where there's conflict, where there's strife. And one of the things that I was taught in seminary by my preaching professor, he said that we are like doctors, and we need to know what our congregation is going through so we can prescribe the correct, I'm calling it medicine, okay? But he didn't call it that. That's been a while. I've forgotten now exactly what he called it. He says that that way, every service is a miracle, is a deliverance service. Because people are delivered from some stress. They're delivered from their physical ailments. And as I was looking at the map and looking at those countries, especially Ukraine is staying in the news, and Russia, some of our listeners are there. And my whole thing was, are we providing words of comfort? Are we giving them what it is that they need? Are they hearing what they need from us to be able to deal with their day-to-day situation and circumstances? And compound that is the fact that love has been taken out of the equation whenever you look at the conflict that's going on, especially also right here in America. You got the blue states, the red states, and you got the red states are in battles, and they are attacking various members of their own party. And the question is, where is the love? What kind of love? And what I concluded, based on what I see, the love that, if they want to say it's love, it is not the one of the Bible. The love that they have is more of what Satan is pushing the world in the world. It's what is in it for me. What can I get out of this? I mean, I love you so long as you do what I want you to do. And that is not the type of love that God has. God has unconditional love. And people who don't have that, they find themselves in constant turmoil. They are like a ship on the ocean. When the wind comes, the waves blows that ship around. If it doesn't have a rudder, and I've been on cruises when the water was choppy and it was hard for the pilot to keep that ship on course. So my whole thing is the foundation, like love anchors the soul. And Apostle Miller has been talking about covenant and the type of love. If you dissect a covenant that God has with his people, you know, it's amazing. Then you can see and understand what God means when he talks about love. You can understand what the Son, what Jesus said, why he was able to do what he did for us. Because he knew that a lot of us were not going to be, we were going to wind up backsliding, but we were going to wind up being disobedient to the word. And he could say, not my will, but thy will be done. And he knew what that encompassed. And he went on and did what God wanted done so that we could receive eternal life. And not only we could receive it, but then we could share it with others. I know growing up, we used to hear it all the time, I got mine, you got yours to get. No, that's not the way it works. If you got yours, you're supposed to share it with somebody else. And share it doesn't mean talking to them all the time. Sharing means your lifestyle. People need to be able to see the Christ in you in your home, in your family, as whenever you get behind closed doors, you still should be the same as you were when you walk around outside with your little chest stuck out and giving people the impression that you was all that, I've forgotten the other part, all of that on a piece of cake. I'll just put it that way. And knowing that something inside of you wasn't right. You were not the light of the world. And whenever I started looking at it that way, I gained an in-depth understanding of what is happening. I know the word says that there would be wars and rumors of wars. But you sit and you wonder what possessed one to go in and decide that he's going to take something that doesn't belong to him. And then he got a whole strand of lies to go along with it. So now, what do people say whenever they're confronted with that situation? What do people say whenever the bums are dropping on them and they're hurting? If they don't have the right foundation, I can see and I can hear them, the language that they use, because they don't understand it, but I can see and hear those of us who are believers. When that starts happening to us, when the mountains start falling on us, we understand that we got authority and power over that situation. And we know that there is a being that we call God that is got everything under his control. I guess as I have struggled with this right after the beginning of the war, and then as I struggle with this country and what they're talking about, red states and blue states, and what the red states, what can happen in there, and all the new laws. It's like we're going backwards to Jim Crow. That was in going back to the time I grew up. I just want us to think about it, because my question was, now, what is it that I can do? What is it that God will want me to do to bring about some change or to bring about comfort for the people during this time? Prayer. Prayer is one of the things. Now, yes, think about it. Yes, if we were not praying the word, if we weren't praying the word, what type of situation would we find ourselves in? So, just to those who are hearing, no matter how small these little situations are, we are all going through something right now. We are all, some of us, the bullets is not hitting us, but we still are going through something. And those of us who have a foundation, a spiritual foundation, or scripture foundation, rather, we are able to count it all joy. And I'm not saying now, it took me a while to be able to count it joy as I was going through trials and tribulation. But when I started doing it that way, the way the word said do it, I was at peace. I was at peace. And the situation subsided. But before I would react, and by my reacting, I would escalate the problem. And that did not help me. All it did was create more of a problem for me. So let us continue the discussion and see what way we will wind up.
Okay, Apostle, you know, the Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. The Bible tells us also that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And the Bible also tells us it's just like it was to a certain degree. And the Bible said when Jesus comes, it's going to be like it was when in Noah's time. Well, we seeing that Matthew 24 told us that the love of many going to wax cold. He was talking about the saints because of the spirit of lawlessness. Now, God have done everything that he going to do for us to have a successful life. And I'm like, you know, I'm not there for maybe bullets and you know, what some people experience in different countries. But the thing, the ark of safety is receiving Jesus as your personal savior. Now, according to the Bible, the sinners are going to get worse and worse. You know, and as I've been studying about covenant and studying about love, you know, the sinners, they love conditional. The born-again believer, we have that agape love on the inside, and if we yield to the written word of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit, we will operate in that unconditional love. You know, so there too, again, if God expect different things, you know, God don't expect the sinners to do what he require us to do as born again believers, but sinners have the opportunity. That's why Jesus said on one occasion, I believe, he said, a harvest truly is plentiful, but the labors are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest send forth labor. And we can pray. I've been praying, you know, that God was put people in the ungodly people pass a witness to them, and that the believers will be strengthened in their inner man by the Spirit of God, that God will strengthen them and, you know, and help them in this hour. Because the Bible said the Lord is a present help in the time of trouble. The Bible tells us the effective from the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, even before we came on the earth, it was a lot of turmoil. It was a lot of things going on in Hamlet. It was wars and nations was fighting against nation. People were dying and all of that. But from what from some of the study I understand, a lot of people had a peace when they received Jesus, their Lord and Savior. And that's our escape right there, you know, to have peace within when it's all turmoil and all that. I go back, when I look at some of the characters in the Bible, especially, you know, I did a study on Joseph back here. And when I look at how Joseph, but they, you know, they his spirit was really strong. And I think the Bible tells a strong spirit will sustain you, but a wounded spirit is something else. But Joseph, it really blesses me to see how Joseph, the three Hebrew boys, and even Daniel, how they didn't have the spirit dwelling on the inside like us. But they had a you could tell that they understood covenant and their spirit was strong. And that's what sustained them. You know, even Joseph, he was a young man, but when he got sold, it was when he got out of it, he was working for Potiphar in Potiphar's house. And when Potiphar's wife kept lusting after the young man and how he was a man of it, he was a young man of integrity. He said, you know, Potiphar done faded me, let me work in this home. And then the thing that really blessed me when he said, you know, he said, but to God, I wouldn't do this. And even the Hebrew boys, you know, when they went bow, and I mean, they had been working for Nebuchadnezzar, but they made up in their mind that they were going to stay true to their covenant with God, or better yet, their relationship. So there too, again, I believe in the time we can really have, we have to look to God, and we just keep on praying for people, and that's all about escape, you know. God did not promise none of us a bed of roses. And that's why a lot of times when I hear certain things going on with some of the people, even in politics, in the government, if them people is not saved, if they haven't been truly born again, you can't expect for them to express the unconditional love. You can't expect them to do what God, do according to what is written. People that's not saved, and you got some people say they ignorant of what's written, and some of them, they don't care what's written. And all, according to the Bible, only thing we can do is pray for them. And when God give us some that's saved, we stand up and we say it, you know, because when God was showing me about all this hatred and bitterness, and I was telling the Lord, I said, you know, it don't make no sense. What we're dealing with, racism, divorce, family feud, argument between friends and associates, and we got really all of these, the device of the devil to use to hinder the minister of reconciliation. And see, that's why Jesus came to restore relationship. And the Bible said we have the spirit of reconciliation, you know. So there too, again, we as born again believers, that's what we have to stand up when the opportunity presents itself and share Jesus with people, you know, because, you know, it's not too late for nobody to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that's why I said, well, what bothered me more than anything, when I hear saints and scribes in division and all, you know, now that bothers me. Because yeah. The Bible tells us as born-again believers how we supposed to conduct ourselves. Now, I don't get too bothered with sinners. I pray for them, you know, and pray that God would give me a word for them when they cross my path or whatever. But I don't think nothing different. They doing just what they nature. They have a sinful nature. So there too, again, that's what they going to do. But, yeah, we can pray. And like I said, effective from a prayer of a righteous man avail as much. We can pray for those that are going through. And if, like I said, if they're not saved, believe God that they'll receive salvation and continue to pray that God will strengthen them, that God will protect them, that God will guide them. But there too, again, this is all us going to leave here. You know, and I hope somebody don't think I'm saying that loosely, but the Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die. All of us going to leave him, but if we believe in Jesus, we going to be resurrected, you know. But like I said, my thing is when I look at what's going on in the body of Christ, you know how you got some of the believers, they don't want to connect with other believers. They always bashing one another. That is not the spirit of Christ. That's the spirit of the enemy. That should be named among us. The Bible says the righteous cover. No, we don't compromise. I was talking to someone the other day, and they called me, and they were saying some things were going on. I said, they talking to the wrong person. The Bible says if your brother offend you, go to your brother and to them alone. He didn't say go to Facebook. He didn't say get on the phone and belittle them. You know what I'm coming from? If we would just follow the instructions that have been given to us, now, we ain't going to stop all the chaos. We might well settle with that. No, that's not going to happen. But we can have peace. We can have peace, and we can, you know, do what God tells us to do and believe and trust God with the outcome of it. But that's what I was telling somebody. They said, well, so-and-so and done. I said, you're talking to the wrong person. I said, you go to them. Now, I done had people to come up to me, you know, and accuse me of offending them, and I wait on the Holy Spirit what to say. And I remember one person came up to me, oh, you offended me, Prophet Miller. And the Holy Spirit said, Ann, just humble yourself. And he told me, and I told him, I said, look, if I offended you, that was not my intention. I apologize. And they just went on and on. And I didn't say no more. I said, as I said, if I offended you, that was not my intention, and I apologize to you. So will you forgive me? Because the Bible says, soft word turn away wrath. But there too, again, if we would just do when a situation, our circumstance, if we would just do what the Bible say, wait on the Holy Spirit, and just do what he tell us to do, I think we'd do better. But like I said, you got a lot of Christians. If they ain't careful, if they take their eyes off of what God is saying about one another, they're going to go the other way. It ain't but two races of people, believers and unbelievers. That's the only two races of people. But if you have not been born again, you're going to view people from the flesh. And that just the way it worked. But like I said, and I'm just kind of hitting a little thing, you know, giving certain little nuggets, because when I begin to study the covenant, and it's good to read, go to Galatians and read all six chapters of it. And it really blesses me, because how through covenant, God brought all race of people together. The covenant will bring us together. Just like the blood of Jesus paid for all sin. Regardless of what color your skin, it paid for. So my thing, God done already made a way for humanity. The thing is, if humanity would take the way that he done made for them, where the Bible said that the gospel is only hinted to those that are lost, because the God of Crusader, Thomas Satan, have blinded the mind of those that don't believe. But I wonder sometimes he done blind the minds of the ones that believe too. If he can blind the minds of the ones that don't believe, what about you got saints that don't believe? So there too, again, you know, we just had to continue to pray for people. The Bible said the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. I don't agree with a lot of things that a lot of our people in the White House doing. I'm going to be honest with you. But what I do, I pray for them, and I don't go out and try to bash at them. I pray for the heart of the king. I said, God, those in authority, I'm asking you to turn their heart. And I pray for, you know, conviction to come. And if they don't yield to conviction, I pray you just uproot them and replace them with godly people. Because prayer is powerful. But I think sometimes after people see the same thing happening all the time, a lot of times people give up hope. But there too again. The Bible tells us what we need to do to keep our hope, to keep our strength up. So, okay, Gwen.
Oh, y'all doing great. You're doing great. You're doing great. I'm just sitting here listening, and what you and Apostle Armstrong both said are so good. And you know, God has given all one weapon, and it has many compartments, but the Word of God, as a believer, the Word of God is the foundation of our faith. And, you know, God can give us different methods and everything, but in a country where bombs are dropping, in a place where there's no water and they don't have medicine for their children, and they're suffering atrocities and things that your mind and mine can't even fathom, because they're not experienced. But the Word of God will take care of them there, just like it would take care of us here. And the dispensation that we're in now, God strategically placed us here now because we have in us to endure and to outlast what's going on now.
Amen.
Because of the revelation and the knowledge and the truth of the word that he's given us. When you all were talking, and it just made me kind of chuckle a little bit, because Wednesday night my subject was the Word of God, our foundation for faith. That's what I taught at Bible study on this past Wednesday night. And he was telling us that the Word of God is our foundation. You know, if you're going to build a house, you don't go clear land off and then you go out and you start putting up the walls and you start putting in the windows. You don't do that. You got to lay the foundation. So if wherever you are, no matter what the trouble, no matter what the problem, the Word of God is our foundation. 2 Timothy, this is one of the scriptures he gave me with, and I bless you. So 2 Timothy 2 and verse 13 in the Amplified, it says, if we are faithless, do not believe, and are untrue to him, he remains true, faithful to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. And God says,
excuse me, where that at?
Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 in the Amplified.
Oh, okay.
He said, if we're faithless, do not believe, and are untrue to him, he remains true, faithful to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. Remember, God said, when I could find nobody greater to swear by, I swore by myself. And so wherever you are, regardless of what's going on, and I'm like Apostle Miller, not minimizing it, what they're going through at all, but wherever you are, the word of God will protect you. The word of God will provide for you. The word of God will take care of you. It's your foundation. You've got to have the word of God being taught to you, your eye, going in your eye gates and your ear gates, because it's the foundation. It's what's going to hold us steady. You've got to lay that foundation according to what you're planning to build on it. So when you're living in these countries that are war-torn, that are going through all things, like you said, our prophet, we pray, and our prayers are powerful. We pray that God would deal with the hearts of those. I look at all those people at the borders, and I think to myself, I said, all those millions of people, thousands and thousands of people that's crossing the border, what would happen if they would stand up in their own countries and began to pray and to seek God? Because the Bible says one can put 1,000. Two can put 10,000. If these people would just start standing up and declaring the word of God, they begin to pray that God would touch the heart of their leaders. If their leaders will not hear God, you are being a righteous judge. You know how to uproot them and put the right ones into leadership. Then you would lose so many lives, so many things that they're going through at that border, just to name one thing, but so many things, losing their lives, packed in trucks and drowning in rivers and children being molested, drug cartel and all that. And God has given us the word, and the word will work wherever you are. Whatever you're going through, the word of God is forever settled in the heavens and in the earth. And if we just stand up and start using the word, and Apostle Armstrong, I love your heart. You have such a heart for people, for hurting people. And it's so obvious, and that's such a wonderful heart to have. And we have to believe that what God gives us every time we come on the broadcast, he knows what's needed. And he knows what's necessary. And we're going to believe God that when we release that word over the airways, that the Holy Spirit can take that word and he can minister to the people. He can comfort the people. See, God can go where we can't go. Prayer can go where we may not be able to physically go. The Holy Spirit is right there with them. And so I believe as we keep teaching and sharing with them on the love of God, how much God loves them, that God is no respecter of person. Like Prophet Miller said, there's only two races of people on the earth, those that believe and those that do not believe. Glory to God. And we're believing that more and more are coming into the kingdom of God. And as we talk about the mercy of God, talk about the goodness of God, as we show, just like this word said, he cannot deny himself. God says, I know those that belong to me. I know how to deliver you out of ungodly situations. And we got to stand on that word. And we got to believe God and worship and praise God. Because in chapter 3, in the first, he told us in these last days, perilous time was going to come. When Jesus was on the earth, you had a lot of this going on then. There were a lot of sick people. A lot of people got healed. But those that did not receive him did not get it. There was fighting. And I'm like Prophet Miller. I wish I could say all the body of Christ get together and every bit of sin going to leave. No, it won't, because the curse is still out there. You're going to have people that's doing ungodly things, that's going to allow the enemy to use them. But God wants us to get in a place of rest with him, that we know that no matter what happens, he's going to take care, he's going to provide, he's going to make a way for us. Would to God, you know, if Jesus was on the earth and all of them didn't turn when he was there, you know, pretty sure that all of them ain't going to turn because we're here. But we are making a difference. We have to know that. We are making a difference. The light is being shown to a lot of people. A lot of lives are going to be turned around for the glory of God. God's going to get the glory. God's always going to get the glory because he can't deny himself. God's going to get the glory. So we have to just know, and I wrote this on my paper right here about, he said the word. He said, I've given you the word. I've given you my name. I've given you the blood. I've given you the Holy Spirit. And I've given you my angels. He said, and I've given you the same spirit of faith that I had. You use these. You pray according to my word. You release my word. You show forth love and kindness. If I tell you to give somewhere, you give that. If I tell you to do this, you do that. Then we are, and as every believer, as we will open our hearts and hearken to God and do what he say, we will alleviate a lot of the suffering and a lot of the hurting in the world. And it's not good to think, but we're not going to be able to reach everybody. We're not. Not because we don't love everybody, but just like in Jesus' day, everybody won't receive. And you can't allow yourself to get beaten down.
Overwhelmed.
Allow you to get overwhelmed by that because Jesus was a good example when he told them, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part of me. And all left but the 12 disciples. All of them left. They'd seen the miracles. He fed them. They'd seen all this. But when he told them, unless they did that, because they didn't have a right understanding of what that meant, they left. And he turned to the 12 and he said, are you going to go too? And they said, where are we going to go? You know, you hold the keys to life. Where are we going to go? So we cannot allow the fact that some will not receive what we're saying and rejoice over those that are receiving, those that the word of God is getting to them, the word of God is helping them, the word of God is bringing joy. And so we just have to celebrate and trust the Holy Spirit to take the word, take it to where it needs to go, and build the people up. Everybody there?
Some here. You know, I agree with you, Apostle Gwen, and that is so true because, like I said, in one of the Psalms, he said, I was overwhelmed in my spirit, and I begin to complain. And it's so many things. That's why it's so important to stay focused on the word of God because it can be overwhelming. You can get so overwhelmed with what's happening, and then you open the door for the enemy, and the enemy will start condemning you. Well, you ain't doing enough. You need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. But there, too, again, I think it's Psalm 115, God gave the world to men. It's up to the believers. But that's it. That's why a lot of times we have to not only just pray for the unrighteous, but we have to pray for the believers, you know. God have blessed people to help do things, but some of the people, they just won't come forward and do it. But there, too, again, you can't just allow yourself to get overwhelmed because I done been down that road, and sometimes now I'm tempted when it come down to my loved one to get overwhelmed with what I see them doing that I know it's not right. And the Lord would just remind me. He said, have you not prayed? I said, yes, I have. He said, now you just going to have to believe and trust and just wait on me, Ann, and have confidence that I did hear your prayer. But the Bible also tells us in 1 John, he tell us, he said, what caused us to overcome the world? It's our faith. What faith? He talking about in the finishing work of Christ. And there too, again, what Jesus came to do, he made it possible, regardless of what happened on this earth. We could endure it. We can overcome it. We can do it, y'all. And that's why it's so important. That's why it's so important to get the gospel out to everybody. What a lot of people, you know, for so long, people don't look to man instead of looking to God, you know, believing God to put the right people in place and doing what they're supposed to do. Now, God have his responsibility to man, but man also have a responsibility to God.
You know, so there too again. My thing always is ask the minister, okay, God, give me the word and cause me to cry, be with the people. Whoever, what words you don't put in my mouth, allow me to get with the, them people that cross my path. Because I believe every born again believer, God have assigned us, God have people that come to us for an answer. The thing is that we just got to make sure we ready. But there too again, God did not call one person to save the whole world. And that's what we
right.
have, like I said, we have to be careful that the enemy don't push you. If you know you're doing all that you can do, God taught me this years ago, he said, do all you can do and I do what you can't do. He said, and that have really kept balance in my life. Because sometimes, you know, and I see this as I've been lately ministering and going to pastors. God been showing me this thing. You know, pastors, is a lot of them, they're giving the people the word. First of all, one of the responsibility of a pastor, to make sure that they seek the Lord and get the word for the right season, for the right time.
That's right.
But once they give that word, guess what? There's no more they can do. But if you constantly feeding your people and you giving them the right word, and then when you look at them or when they come to you, you don't see their circumstances changing, and they always coming to you, mommy complaining. The problem is they're not taking the word serious. They not applying the word to their situation. Well, what can that leader do? Ain't nothing else that leader can do but just keep on praying and doing what God told them to do. And it's the same way. Now, God done made it possible. It's, you know, he done made a way for mankind. He done, it's what, regardless of what's happening on this earth, God done already did everything that we need to be victorious. He done already did everything, you know. But there, too, again, when you got people keep hearing the word, when you got people keep hearing the word and not applying the word, what else can you do?
But don't let
yourself get overwhelmed.
And one thing that I learned, I had to learn the hard way. Because, you know, and this was Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. This is so important. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And this part here is where a lot of us get tripped up. It tells us, lean not on your own understanding. We've been sitting there trying to figure things out. I don't understand why they're not doing this. I don't understand why. I did this and I did that. Why? And then it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And I, after I came into that understanding, ministry was a lot less stressful than it was before. And because I was lamenting, I don't know why these people are going to be saying that I split the church, and I was going on and on. You know what God said? Just like we're talking here tonight. He said, why not you? You don't understand what's going on here. I do. So you do what you're supposed to do, and I'm going to take care of what I need to take care of. And I shut up. I did not complain. I did not murmur. I did not say anything else about it. I went on and did what I was called there to do. And I had peace. And that's what it's all about. Because I have stood at the pulpit on Sunday morning for 5 minutes and didn't say a word, just looked out. And, you know, my whole thing was, if I was trying to understand these people and what's going on, why they're acting the way they're acting, why they keep doing what they're doing, because that was a problem. I was told by one of the trustees, don't use the name devil. Don't call the devil's name. in that church, in that congregation, don't call the devil's name. And I did not ask them why not. I should have, as I think about it now. I was just, why was he saying, don't call the devil's name? And he's a trustee. Well, see, I'm standing there trying to understand, as I should have just said, okay, why not call his name? But because I'm sitting there trying to figure it out, I missed the opportunity. So, and that was during my prayer and fasting, my 21-day prayer and fasting. That was one thing I asked for. I asked God for wisdom and understanding. Go ahead.
You know, too, Apostle, God gave me this in December. We got to know how to resist discouragement and disappointment, especially as believers. You know, because in Matthew, the 11th chapter, when John the Baptist allowed discouragement, allowed discouragement, disappointment, caused him to cast away his confidence in the word of God. You know how God had revealed to John who Jesus was, but then once he got him in prison and Jesus didn't come and check on there too again. In this hour, it is a lot of disappointment, discouragement, but we got to learn how to resist it. Go back to what Apostle Green said with the word of God. Because it can cause discouragement, disappointment can open yourself up for bitterness and resentment against God, you know. And we got to watch it. We got to keep the word in us. We got to keep our mind on the Lord, because there's a lot of things happening. And there too, again, as you stated, we be trying to figure out. And I learned this. When you open yourself up trying to figure out the devil, she'll try to give you a solution. Now, a lot of people don't like that, but it's the truth. People don't realize the battle is in the mind. And the enemy is always, some people don't like that, but you need to know your enemy. You know, need to know his summons. The way you got, he always talking your mind. Because he know that's where everything starts, with your soul, with that mind. And he going to try to bring discouragement. He going to bring disappointment, because he want you and I to believe what God said is not true, but it's too late for him when it comes down to me. I'm fully persuaded what God say it is so. I'm fully persuaded that I can go to him, you know, and I pray that everybody learn that. I don't doubt everybody, don't cross every T, no, but I thank and praise God that the more I walk with the Lord, you know, the more I walk with the Lord, it really do something for me. And in Psalm 78, in that 22nd verse, he said, because they believe not in God and trust not in his salvation, though he had commanded the cloud from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of corn of heaven. Now, the thing about everything God did for the children of Israel, with a strong hand, he brought them out of Egypt. And out of all he did for them, they still didn't believe in him, still didn't trust the Lord. They still walked around mummy complaining. And it's the same way now. Out of all God done did through Jesus, you still got people that don't want to, you know, they don't want to believe God. They don't want to, as Apostle Gwen read from, but the good part about it, God is still merciful. God is still being patient, still being lonesome. Mm-hmm. And we just had to pray for people because, I mean, you know, like I said, we just can't allow ourselves to get overwhelmed with it, because I tell you, it can get to you if you ain't careful. That's why I do look at the news now. I had not stopped looking at it. But I look at it, but when it started like it wanted to stay on my mind, I say, hey, come on, you're going to have to roll that kelp on the Lord. Leave that thing alone. Give it to God and trust. No, I'm serious, because if you sit there and just let all of that negative stuff get in your spirit, I'm going to tell you, it's hard to get it out. And then you'll start, if you ain't careful, you'll find yourself questioning God. What God is? Why God ain't doing stuff? Why God letting this happen? Why? God ain't letting nothing happen. It's what people, he done told us what we need to do. And if we don't do what he say do, he said in Matthew 18, I allow what you allow. Whatever you disallow, I disallow. And so there too again, you know, what else we want him to do? But see, the thing is, a lot of people, they haven't renewed their mind, and some of them is not keeping their mind renewed.
Yeah, and the sad thing about it is Luke 10:18-20. Luke 10:18-19 says that we have authority over demons, scorpions, and serpents, and we have power over the enemy. And a lot of us, we stop it right there. We get all excited and jumping up and down. But verse 20 is the one that seals it. It says, do not rejoice in the fact that you was able to do all of this stuff. You rejoice in the fact that your name is written in the heavens. And that's what I've learned to be like Jesus. Just speak the word to the enemy. Just speak it.
That's it.
And whenever you begin to speak it to the enemy, that's when the enemy flees and leave you alone, and or he will stop bothering those people that he's attacking that you're interceding for. But in the past, a long time ago, I'm going toe-to-toe with Lucifer. But all that did was made it, prolonged it. It made it worse. Because he showed me that he was in control and that I was out of my league.
Well, that's why I said it's the dare to again. We got to do this word. I mean, you know, and also in that 78 chapter, Psalm 78 chapter, in that 37th verse, he said, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. And the Bible tells us in Hebrew, we got a better covenant with better promise. But if you don't find out what the new covenant offer you, you know, it's no good. And the Bible is, to me, I call the Bible a manual for life. The Bible is a manual for life. But it's so many things in this hour is detracted. Now, I thank God for technology. God knows I do. But some of the technology, like them phones, there's so many things now the enemy using that detract people from the most needful thing. Martha was upset with Mary, but what Jesus said, she doing the most needful thing. The most needful thing in this hour is for us to stay focused on God, do what he's telling us to do, and, you know, and trust him with the rest. I mean, you know, because I'm saying it's so many things can get your attention now. I'm a witness to that. It's so many things. And it just, it hurts you to see what people going through with. But it just like the Lord told me, he said, if I'm giving that word to the pastor to give to the people. He said, but if they not doing it, and because I gave man a will, I'm not going to override their will.
That's right.
He said, they're going to have to suffer the consequence. And that's why I'm saying God loves us so much, and that's the strongest thing about you, man. God gave us a will. Now, what the old folks you said you can, you can carry the mule to the tribe, but you can't make it drink the water. The horse. That's it. And I mean that's what it is. If you go in the church, and even in the Bible, God telling us what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and then send the Holy Ghost to help us. And if we not doing what he say do, See, ain't nothing else he can do. Some people got a mindset like I used to have before I got my mind renewed. He said, but he God. If he God, he can do. Yes, God can do anything. But God limited himself by giving us, when he gave us a will. Because he wanted us to ask our own freedom. Freedom of choice. He wanted us to come, love him, and hear and obey him. But I used to get mad before I got saved. And when I got saved, I had a lot of questions. And when God asked him, it was like, oh, my goodness. Again, he let me know. He said, and I told him, he said, I'm not going to override your will. I ain't going to make you and nobody else do nothing.
Yeah,
but see,
well, see,
always,
I
had the mindset. Yes, sir.
I would get upset. And I would tell God, I don't know why you didn't just go on and make a robot. So I'm going to have to be going through all this.
I know. I've been there. But see, that's what I said. Once you come into the knowledge, by getting in God's word, reading it, and asking the Holy Spirit to bring understanding and open up your eye, he'll help you to see. It's not God's fault. It, you know, I had to learn a lot of things. I was blaming on the enemy. It wasn't his fault. It was my fault.
Mm-mm.
He said, Hosea 4:6, he said, my people destroy for lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge.
And it wasn't that knowledge wasn't being given at that time, but just like I'm reading here in Psalm 70, people just rejected it. And because when they rejected, they had to suffer the consequences. And so it's like that now.
Yeah, and I used to tell, the devil made me do it. That was that name blame game that I was playing. Ain't no devil made me do nothing. I did it because I wanted to do it.
That's it. After act of your will, you did it.
That's right. Absolutely right. So the devil, I'm not giving that devil credit for nothing. Because Jesus said, what? He destroyed the works of the devil. He destroyed
them. Amen.
So now if he destroyed the works, then he said that he came and he gave us life. So why am I playing games with the devil? As long as he got me playing games with me, he got me under his control.
That's right.
And before we leave, could we pray for Miss Davis? She has to have open heart surgery. My daughter's friend's mama down in Texas. They're gonna do open heart surgery on Monday. And as I told him, don't allow the enemy to tell him anything, put any negative thoughts in his mind, because I told him that he had to look it up now because I don't know the chapter and verse. But Jesus said, by his stripes, she's healed. And he stand on that, make that the foundation of his prayer time and reflection. Just every time he think about it, Jesus said, my mama is healed. By his stripes, she's healed. And,
you got 90
and that
seconds.
Way he'll have the peace.
60 seconds.
Okay, would you mind? No. Apostle of Love.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have sent your word and your word have healed us. Father, this precious lady that Apostle Armstrong had brought, we stand together, united on your word, that by your stripes she's already healed. We thank you for the doctors, the nurses. Everything that will be done under your direct supervision. Thank you that your spirit will fill that room. We remove all fear, doubt, and unbelief. And by your stripes, we believe and we decree that she's already healed.
Yeah,
in the name
yes.
of Jesus. And, Father, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, and give you the praise, for you are our healer. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right. I want to thank everybody. And as we go, from this place, and this place, I mean, we're on the radio, we're on telephones, it's a place, and we need to begin. Apostle Miller, you were saying that we have to learn how to reach people different ways now and differently. Well, this is one way that might be the method that's being used, because I look at, you go to the doctor now, like even at the hospital, they had a camera in the hospital in the emergency room, whereby if you need a specialist, the specialist didn't have to physically be there. He could take the camera and do his examination and come up with a decision. And the doctors now, that's the wave of the future, is the video visits. And I'm not sure how effective that's going to be in the long run, but that's the way we're going.
Well, you know, so, like I say, technology is good if you use it the right way. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing, you know. It's just like gravity. Gravity is a good thing. Electricity is a good thing. But if you use it the wrong way, it can hurt you.
Yes, it can. And it will. And I can testify to that.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.